2 Kings chapter 6. I'm going to read these verses and they're going to sing this song. And then I've got a message on my heart I want to share with you this morning. And pray the Lord will accomplish what he wants done. I've said to you this morning, and it's my heart is to be obedient to the Lord. Just to mind God, be what I can be an instrument in his hand, whatever and however God wants to operate and work, that's the way I want it done. But in chapter number 6 of 2 Kings, the Bible says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, speaking to Elisha, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand, and he took it. You pray for the quartet as they sing this song.
Lord, you know I'm
Now and then, we need to be reminded of some things, and that's what this scripture is about this morning, in my mind anyway, over in 2 Kings chapter 6, where Elisha had a prophet school. In our day, it would have been a preacher's school. And a lot of men signed up and wanted to sit under Elisha's ministry and learn from him about the things of God. And the crowd got rather large. It got too big for their building. And so they're going to have another place. And so Elisha tells them, said, every man get your axe and we're going to the woods down by the River Jordan, and every man's going to cut his tree down, and we'll take the trees that are cut down, and we'll build another place where it'll be larger that will accommodate you. And I read to you in the story where as they were felling the beam, as they were cutting down the tree, there was one man that had borrowed an axe. And as he was chopping down the tree, laboring, working, doing all that he could do, being obedient, wanting to be a part of what God's doing, all of a sudden the axe head came off the handle and it went into the River Jordan. And so he says, turns around and he looks at Elijah and he says, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." And Elisha said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place where it went into the water. Elisha cut a stick and he cast it into the water. And the Bible says, and the iron did swim. Now, a lot of folks question whether or not that is a possibility. Well, if you were to look at that from a social standpoint, it is an impossibility. For iron just doesn't swim. But I'm glad we're not looking from a natural standpoint at this. We're looking from a spiritual standpoint. And you're listening and hearing one preacher this morning that just believes what this Bible says when the Bible says, and the iron did swim. I'm glad that God is in the miracle working business. He worked a miracle there, and God is still working miracles today. Now, I want to just get a little personal right here and say to you that God, when He brought me out of that horrible pit and put my feet on the solid rock, established my going, God performed a miracle. God did something for me that nobody else could ever do. My mama loved me. My mama suffered a great deal for me, and she put up with a lot because of her love for me. My daddy loved me. My daddy suffered a great deal for because of his love for his children. But nobody could ever love me like Jesus loved me. My mama couldn't do for me what needed to be done. You see, my mama gave me my first birth, but she couldn't give me my second birth. She birthed me into this world, my dear friend, into a sinful world. I said to somebody this morning, it may have been Brother Stephen, he and his wife got that new little baby. And I said, you know, the thing of it is they come into the world speaking lies. You don't have to train them to do wrong. They come into the world doing wrong. That's the world my mother brought me into, a world of sin, a world of sadness, a world of sorrow. That is the world that my mother brought me into, a world of suffering, a world, my dear friend, where it seems like there's so much evil and so much going on in this world. That's the world that my mother brought me into. She didn't like this world any more than I like it. But I'm glad that God had a way and God did a miracle. God did a miracle for me. When I was 24 years old, He brought me out of that old horrible pit that I was sinking down into, put my feet on the solid rock, established my going. And I want to say to you, God made the iron to swim in my life. God did something for me that nobody else could ever do. Religion could not have done it. You could have amassed all of the religion in the world and brought it into one great big arena and put me in there in the middle and said, fix this problem. And my dear friend, religion would have had to bow its head, turned and walked away and said, we don't have the power to do that. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven that came down to where I was one day that said, hey, the God that could make the iron to swim, I'm glad he's the God that could come down, take out of my bosom that old stony heart and put within my heart, a heart of flesh, a heart that could feel, a heart that no longer had a desire for the things of this world, but for the things of God. My mother brought me into this world, but my heavenly Father brought me into another world, of which I am so grateful as I stand here before you this morning. Here's a man that in the midst of all he was doing, he just lost his axe head. I want to talk to you this morning about some things that maybe, possibly, some of you may have lost. Maybe not. But I'm convinced that there's some things that some of us have lost. And I just want to share a few things with you this morning. How about, it seems to me like there are people in our day that have lost the excitement of being saved. I feel sometimes when I come in this pulpit, and I'm telling you, I'm not just making this up. God put in me a well of living water springing up unto everlasting life. God put a joy in me that is unspeakable and full of glory. I get the feeling sometime when I stand here and the Holy Ghost is dealing my heart and I'm expressing the joy of the Lord. I get the feeling sometime people think he's just putting on, but I'm not putting on. I want to tell you, my dear friend, I'm telling you just as honest as I know how to be with you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That is not just a song. It's not just a verse in Nehemiah 8 and 10, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. I have never, in these 55 years of being saved by God's marvelous grace, I have never lost the excitement of being saved. I'm excited about it today. I thought about this morning. Oh, that I wish there was some way I could demonstrate to you about what hell is all about. I'm telling you, I thought about this morning. That rich man in hell, what he would do today in Morningstar Baptist Church if he could come back here today, if he could walk through those doors today and come and sit down in this church house today with the smell of hell upon him and the smell of torment upon him. I wonder how it would be for him. I believe, praise God, he would get excited about the fact that, hey, I can go to the house of God. Oh, my friend, if he could just go back and accept Jesus Christ Christ as Lord and Savior and be saved by the grace of God and never have to worry about going to hell. I believe he'd say, hey, the iron did swim. Amen. I'm telling you, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which we're able to ask or even think. I think about this young man as he's out there and he's got his axe. And he's out there and he's cutting down the tree. And he's got his axe out there and he's got his axe and he's chopping away at that tree. And, you know, he's just chopping away at it. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. I thought about how many there are that possibly sit in our church and have sat in our church that they come to church faithful. They come to Sunday school. They're back on a Sunday night. They're back on a Wednesday night. They read their Bible. But they've lost the excitement of their joy. They've lost the excitement of being saved. Hey, this guy was out there doing everything he's supposed to be doing when all of a sudden the axe flew off the handle. And now the axe is gone. It's fell into the River Jordan. He's standing there now. A lot of things have happened to this guy. He no longer is excited about getting to cut down a tree and take it back and get in the building business to help these prophets. He no longer has the excitement and the joy in his heart of being able to be used of God. He's standing there helpless. Could you imagine trying to cut down a tree with just an axe handle? I mean, the axe has gone off of this handle. You can't cut wood with this. It doesn't have an axe head on it. You're just helpless. If you're looking to cut down a tree and you ain't got nothing that you can stand there and beat on that tree all day long and it ain't going nowhere. It's just going to stand right there. I feel for this young man in this story. He's lost his axe head. Not only has he lost it, but he had borrowed it. It wasn't his. He had just borrowed it. And he borrowed it. It was lent to him so he could go and do what he felt like he needed to do. Whoever lent it to him had good intentions of him returning his axe because that was a very expensive tool in that day. They didn't have chainsaws in that day. They didn't have cross-cut saws. All they had was their axe. And that's how they cut their wood. And here this man, he's done borrowed a man's axe. He's gone out here and he's chopping down a tree. The axe head falls off and it goes into the water and now he is in trouble. I want to say to you this morning, you're saved by God's grace. You ought to rejoice this morning that you're not going to hell. I mean, you ought to be shouting and praising God that you're not going to hell. Every now and then you ought to just go back and remember and read that scripture about that rich man in hell. He said if somebody would just go and take the tip of their finger, touch it water, and touch this tongue, for I'm tormented in that place called hell. I want to tell you this morning, I'm excited because I ain't going to that place. I'm excited this morning because I'll never go to that place. I'm excited this morning, I'll never smell the charred walls of hell. I'll never experience the flames of hell. I'm excited about that this morning. But I'm not only excited about that, but I'm excited about a place that I'm going to called heaven. Be no more sorrow. No more heartache. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more disappointments. There'll be no more sad days. There'll be no more funerals. Hallelujah. There'll be no more families separating. There'll be no more children without mamas and daddies. No more mamas and daddies without children. I'm glad I'm going to such a place.
Amen.
That young man, he looked and he said, "Alas, Master." I want to tell you the problem with a lot of people in our churches today. If we have gotten used to the same old, same old. We have somehow have allowed our hearts to become calloused, that we have lost the excitement of being saved. I look at you every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. I see you. I'm not preaching to the walls or to the ceiling. I know preachers, they come in and preach. They never preach to anybody. They're always preaching to the walls. They preach to the ceiling. They preach to the floor. But I'll tell you, you're looking at a preacher that preaches you right in the eye. I look at every one of you every time I'm here in this pulpit preaching. I'm watching your expressions. I'm seeing whether you're taking in the Word of God or whether you're rejecting it, whether you're busy planning your vacation or your dinner or whatever. And I see some of you that never get excited about being saved. And it makes me wonder, are you really saved? I'm not your judge, but it makes me wonder sometimes. People that say they're saved that never get excited about it, how can you not be excited about it? You've met somebody big as God. He's done something for you that nobody else could do. He's going to take you where nobody else can take you, and you're going to be there forever rejoicing in the good things of God. How can you not get excited about that? Well, I know that it's possible to be saved, but if you've lost the joy of being saved, you've lost something that enables you to praise God the way God intends you to praise Him. If you've lost the excitement of being saved, you're no longer excited about what Jesus did for you on the cross. No longer excited about what He did for you there in the garden. No longer excited about what He did for you on resurrection morning. No longer excited about what He's doing for you now as your lawyer in heaven. No longer excited about what He's going to do for you when He comes back in the rapture. You're like that man that's lost his axe head. All you got's a handle. Alas, Master. And Elisha asked this question, where fell it? I want to ask you this question this morning. If you've lost the excitement of your being saved, where did you lose it? How long ago has it been? That's the reason I had them to sing this song this morning. We need to be reminded.
Amen.
I need to be reminded where I was, where He brought me from, and where He brought me to. I want to tell you, if you're saved this morning, you're saved by God's grace. You didn't get to where you are because you're smart. You didn't get to where you are because you've got physical abilities. You didn't get there because of anything you've ever done. If you've got anywhere, it's been because of the good grace of God. The grace of God has brought you to where you are. It picked you up out of that horrible pit. It put the grace of God put your feet on the solid rock. The grace of God established your going. And my dear friend, it's the grace of God that puts the joy of the Lord in your heart. It's Him that excites me over the fact that I'm saved. He don't ever let me forget about the time when I met Jesus. Back there. I was as vile a sinner as they come. I feel like the Apostle Paul when Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. I put myself right down there with him. See, a lot of people, the problem is they won't admit that they've lost the axe. They still got the handle in their hand. And because they're swinging the handle, do you know it's harder to swing this handle and trying to cut something than it would be if it had the axe head on it? The devil has fooled so many people into thinking, well, you can serve God without that joy in your heart. You can't do it. I don't even know that you know Him if you don't have the joy of the Lord in your heart.
Amen.
Nehemiah was right when he said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. God's people are rejoicing people.
Right.
Amen.
God's people are people who have the joy of the Lord in their heart. I love these songs that we sing, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Amen.
Not a king's son.
Yeah.
Not somebody that's born into royalty and wealth. But I'll tell you, a pauper, a boy that was brought into this sinful world, a boy that grew up knowing nothing but sin and debauchery, a boy that grew up knowing nothing but wickedness and vileness. But hey, when I met Jesus, He put me in another world. I've said that to you already.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, I still recognize that old world. I still see it. It still wants to reach out and grab hold of me and pull me back into it. But I'm glad God put somebody in me that's greater than He in the world. And that pull in me is greater than that pull of the world. And I want to tell you, my dear friend, I'm excited this morning. Because back there, September the 13th, 1961, 1:30 in the afternoon, the Holy Ghost of God came and took up His residence in my heart. And my dear friend, He's been there ever since. I'll tell you, He's been making the iron to swim in my life. I thought about that great apostle Paul. He wasn't always Paul, you know. He was Saul of Tarsus.
Right.
He was that man that went about persecuting the church of the living God. He was the man that they laid the coats by when Stephen was stoned to death in the book of Acts. And Paul met this man Jesus down on the Damascus Road. And there on the Damascus Road, God made the iron to swim in this man's life. God put the joy of salvation in the Apostle Paul, and for all of the years that he lived right until the very day that he died, he was excited about Jesus Christ, my dear friend. In fact, he put it this way, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. I thought about this morning that wonderful gift that God has given to us, that gift of life. Every one of us are breathing alive in this building this morning because of the goodness of God. God were to withdraw His goodness, everyone would just drop over dead right where we are. I'll tell you, God is good.
Amen.
I thought about another place in the Bible. I could go to a lot of places. I want to take you to a couple places this morning. And I'm not going to tell you about all the things we could have lost. I'm talking about, I believe right here is a place where we ought to spend our time this morning. Because there's a lot of people, until you get the excitement back in your life of being saved, none of these other things are going to work for you anyway. But I want to tell you something. When you got the excitement of salvation in your heart and your life, your testimony is right, the touch of God's on your life, you got the right kind of thankfulness in your heart is filled with joy when you got that excitement in your life.
Amen.
I want you to go a minute over to Acts chapter 3. There's a man that for all his lifetime has been set down at a gate called Beautiful.
Right.
He sits there every day, Miss Pam. He's got his little pan. He's got his little pen, and, you know, as people come by, he can't walk. Somebody has to bring him there every day. And he's sitting there by the gate. He's got his place right there by the gate, Beautiful, and he's sitting there, and he's a beggar. That's the only way he has of making a living. He's always dependent on somebody or putting something in the offering plate. Not the offering plate, but his little collection plate. So he's sitting there by that gate, Beautiful, today. And it's about the ninth hour, and there's two Baptist preachers on their way to church. I'll tell you in a minute why I know they're Baptists. Two Baptist preachers, I'll tell you their name. Their name was Peter and John. And they're on their way to church. And they come by this gate to go into the synagogue, and here sits this beggar sitting there with his offering plate. And Peter, John, they look at each other. Now, here's how I know they're Baptist preachers, because they're both broke. Peter might have looked at John. John said, "Ain't no looking at me, Peter. I ain't got no money." Peter, "I ain't got no money either." Peter said, "I'll tell you what we do have. We got something far better than money."
Amen.
We got something far better than money. All this man's life, he's been dependent on what people put in that little plate. We've got the answer for him. So he goes to this man and he reaches down. "Brother Donnie, I ain't going to jerk you up." He reaches down and he takes that man by the hand. I want you to listen to the power in this. Peter says to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." I want to tell you, the iron did swim. Here this man, all his life, was dependent on other people. Whatever they could put, some days he may eat good, some days he may eat bad, some days he may not eat at all. But now, I want to tell you, when we've got the joy of our salvation in our heart and our life, we got something to offer people. I'm telling you, for those in our churches that have lost the excitement of their salvation, nobody wants what you've got because you're miserable yourself. You're not excited about what God can do. How do you expect anybody else in your family to get excited about it? Hey, Dad, if you're not excited about serving Jesus, how do you expect your children to get excited? "Well, preach, that's why we bring them to church." No, God put the responsibility on you in the home. You're to have that excitement in your home of serving God in your home. What a privilege and a joy. What an opportunity you have. Peter and John, they didn't have no silver and gold, but they had what this man needed. They were excited. I can see the excitement in Peter and John. Now, John was a little more reserved, but Peter, I'm telling you, he'd get emotional quick. I believe he's the one who reached down and got that man with the hand. And he said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." When that man got up, I believe Peter wanted to have him four fits and a choir spell. He was excited to see this man get excited, to see the iron swim. And you know what happened to this man? The Bible says he went running, the cripple that had been healed, he went running and leaping in the house of God, praising God. He was excited over the fact that he had been delivered. I believe if that man could come through those doors back there, he'd tear this service up this morning.
Amen.
He'd come in here running and leaping and shouting, praising God. Said, that's been 2,000 years ago and I ain't never got over it. Hallelujah. If you've got over it, what was so little that you could get over it? God's so big, I can't get over Him.
Amen.
The salvation experience in my life is so big, I can't get over Him.
Amen.
And the iron did swim. Luke chapter 13. There's a woman. She's an old woman. She had bent. She's bowed. She can hardly get along. Remind me of Brother Duckett. Can't hardly get along. Shuffling along. Bringing herself. But she brought herself into the synagogue. 18 years she's done this. 18 years, Dale. I know what me and you would have done probably. We'd have probably stayed at home and say, I can't go to church. I hurt too bad to go to church. I'm talking about me now. You wouldn't do that. For 18 long years, Brother Ned, she brought herself to that synagogue. There was not one priest, there was not one preacher, there was not one person in that church that tried to help her in these 18 years. But there was a man in the pulpit that day that was unlike them priests and other preachers been there. His name was Jesus. God in the flesh. And Jesus saw her and Jesus healed her. Jesus said, iron, swim. And the iron swam.
Amen.
Hallelujah. She was healed in that service. I see her, Brother Presley, coming in like this. And when Jesus heals her, hallelujah, glory,
amen.
Praise
amen.
God.
Amen.
You say, well, if He would have done that for me, I'd be that way too. He's done more than that for you.
Amen.
If you're saved, He's done more than that for you.
Amen.
He's fixed it where you won't have to go to hell. He's fixed it where you can go to heaven. He's fixed it where you don't have to face your sins one day. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, I want to straighten up. I want to walk tall. And I want to shout hallelujah. Praise God. He's good.
Amen.
I don't ever want to lose the excitement of being saved.
Amen.
The man of God said, where fell it? You'll never get your act. You'll never get your joy back. You'll never get your excitement back until you realize you've lost it, until you're willing to admit, I've lost the excitement of being saved. The man of God, the man that lost the axe head said, Master, alas, Master. Elisha said to him, where fell it? Where'd you lose it? I believe that man said, standing there with the axe handle in his hand. The River Jordan, deep water, swift running. I believe that man stood there on the bank and said to Elijah, man of God, it fell off and it went right in that river right there. You know what iron does? You throw it in the water, it sinks. It went to the bottom. If it would have been mud, it just sunk up in the mud. So the man of God goes and cuts a stick. That stick is a symbol of Calvary.
Amen.
You won't ever get the excitement of your salvation back except by the cross. Remember where you were when you were saved. Remember where He brought you from. I'll tell you, you got saved. You got saved at the cross.
Amen.
He just cast in the wood, and the iron did swim. Get the excitement of the cross back in your life, and the iron will start swimming in your life again.
Amen.
the man of God told him, said, you take it. The man of God didn't reach down, pick it up, hand it to him. He said to him, you take it. There it's swimming.
Amen.
You take it. You can't sit there and tell me, if you do, I ain't going to believe a word you say, that that man wasn't excited to get that axe head back. To see a miracle there before his eyes, and the iron did swim. I want to tell you something. When God saved your soul, you'll never forget that. God made the iron to swim. He did an impossibility as far as the world is concerned. God works in the supernatural world.
Amen.
Amen. He's not dependent upon the laws of nature. He moves in the supernatural world. There ain't nothing, Miss Pam, too hard for God. Nothing too hard. I think about that psalmist over in Psalm 23, comes down to the end of the psalm. He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. God makes the iron to swim right in the presence of your enemies. God can hide you in a crowd. God can make the iron to swim. Now, there are some commentators said the iron floated. No, it didn't just float. The Bible said the iron swam. God made it come alive and come to the bank where that man could reach and get a hold of it. You remember the story about Moses back there in the backside of the desert? God positioned himself where Moses could see him, but Moses had to act. God's positioned himself in this service this morning where he can speak to you, but you're going to have to act. If you lost it, you're going to have to admit that you've lost it. And then you're going to have to take it. Listen, 1 John 1:9, if we'll confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, you can do one or two things from this day on. You can go on a swinging an axe handle and never get anything done for God, or you can ask God to give you the cutting edge back. And I'll tell you what, God gave me a two-edged axe.
Amen.
Amen. I believe we that are saved, that's the kind of axe we need, a two-edged axe where we can cut a coming and a going.
Amen.
Praise God, that ought to be the excitement of our life. And hey, God has positioned us in a way and a place and given us tools that the world can't do anything with, but God can do anything with them.
Amen. Yes.
God can. Let's stand on our feet. Things you may or may not have lost. If you've lost the excitement of your salvation, the only way you're going to get it back is admit to the Lord that you need it back. Come back and say, Lord, forgive me. I've lost the excitement of my salvation. The reason I've lost that, Lord, I hadn't been praying like I need to pray. I hadn't been reading my Bible like I need to read my Bible. I haven't been living like I need to live. That's what caused you to lose your excitement. You get settled down. And listen to me again. Look at me here. Listen to me again. That can happen to you sitting right in church, listening to preaching every Sunday, singing in the choir. It can happen to preachers preaching in the pulpit. We can get so busy serving God that we get away from the God we serve and lose the excitement of our salvation. I ask you again, how long has it been since you've got excited about being saved? How long has it been since you've been excited about being saved? If it's been over a day, it's been too long. If it's been a week, it's been way too long. If it's been a month, it could be years. But I'm here to tell you this morning, God will make the iron to swim in your life again if you'll come. Exercise, put yourself. See, here's what God wants you to do. He wants you to put yourself in a position to where He can help you. That's what the altar's for. That's the reason people come to the altar. They come to the altar positioning themselves where God can help them. We're not going to wait here. It's almost 25 minutes after 12. I don't apologize at all. No. God put this message on my heart. I came this morning. I just left my axe and all at home. I had to go back and get it. The Lord said, I want you to bring it. They'll remember that axe. They may forget what you say, but they'll remember that axe. They'll remember that axe handle. They'll remember that axe that flew off the handle. So now the ball's in your court. I'm glad, praise God, I'm glad I've got my axe of excitement going for God. Miss Barbara, I'm still excited about being saved. I hope I maintain that excitement that when I die, they put me in that casket, they think I'm gone, and I'll be so happy, praise God, kick the bottom right out of that thing. The rapture will take place. Whoo! Glory to God. I know some of you are thinking, preacher, you're a nut. I know that. But I'm screwed on the right boat. Hallelujah. Father, I want to see you get excited about being saved. Amen. Put your hand up. See, you didn't fall over dead. I'd put both of them up and glorify God. Amen. We've listened to this crowd too long that if you get excited about being saved, people think you're going off the deep end. Guilty. I went right off the deep end. Hallelujah. You get saved, people call you a holy roller. Call me what you will. I like being saved. I like serving God. I like the presence of God in my life. Some of you, if you get this settled, God put his touch back on you again. Yeah, he would. He'd put his touch on you again. You'd be wanting to get up here and sing, he touched me. I knew I wouldn't remember the words to that song. So I wrote just a few of the words down. I'm going to close with this while these are finishing up praying. The things that I love and hold dear to my heart, they're just borrowed. They're not mine at all. God has lent to me a wonderful wife. He lent her to me for a little while to make my life better. God lent us 5 wonderful children. He just loaned them to us for a little while. God gave us this wonderful church. He just loaned this to us for a little while. You know why he did that, Miss Mary? He wanted to brighten up my days. He wanted me to look toward heaven and say, Lord, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. The things that I love. Brother David, that little boy you hold in your arms, he just lent to you in Holly. For a little while. Cherish him. He's on loan from God to you. The very life that we live is on loan from God. Anything God loans you, God can call it to himself anytime he desires. And the iron did swim. You're dismissed. See you at 6:00. Shake hands with our visitors in the back there before you go.